as we maintain a spirit of prayer. Father, we come before you and we pray that you open up our hearts, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, to fall in love with your word, falling in love with you, hearing, Father, what you would have to say to us that goes beyond the speaker on the stage. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. We submit to you. Teach us, convict us, challenge us, and comfort us. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray and love you and drink deep of your word. Amen. I'm not sure if we understand the depth and the importance of verse 6, which says, "For without faith, it is impossible to please Him." And to understand the idea of pleasing God, remember that there's times when God speaks from heaven and He says, "This is my Son in whom I find pleasure," acceptance. In our case, to be pleasing to God is find salvation. Verse says very clearly, without faith, no matter what we do, no matter what we look like, it is impossible. On the same way, Scripture says that the only way to God is through Christ. Narrow is the road. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's not many ways to God, only one way, and that is Jesus. The flip side is that coming to God without faith, it is impossible to find salvation. What does that look like? And now, as we started last week, walking through this hallway of faith and the different pictures, the word pictures and stories that were given to understand this relationship of faith. It is not a head idea or head knowledge. We understand that even the demons believe, but only the children of God have faith. And it is this faith that draws itself into conviction, and therefore it's the way I live my life. What does this faith look like? Because it's important for us to understand, because without faith, there's no salvation. One way to put it, and I think I've mentioned this to some of you time ago, on any given day when we're skydiving, it is a very fast pace, at least back in Chicago. Planes turn around nonstop, so you land, you pack, you get back in the plane. Well, so I did, and I got my chute repacked. I got in the plane, and the plane is packed full except one person, a photographer of a tandem. So you go to do a tandem, you can hire a photographer, he jumps with you, he videotapes and takes pictures of you falling to the ground. Well, here comes the camera guy. He's got his helmet on, he's got his camera on, he's got his suit on, he's ready to go. But as he tries to get on the plane, the loader said, you're not getting on. What do you mean I got to get on? Plane's got to go. No, you're not getting on. What was the problem? No parachute. He was so busy thinking of what he has to do, he forgot the main thing. Another case was, same thing, they got on, they had the chute, but the loader had a list of people that were supposed to be on the plane and not. And their name was not on that list. He had the parachute, he had the gear, he had the knowledge, he had the experience, but his name was not on the list to be on that plane. Do you understand? You can embrace religion all you want, but if your name is not written in the book of the Lamb's, the Lamb's book of life, there's no entrance into heaven. Now, you may want to get on the plane, but without that parachute, without this faith, no matter if you say, listen, I've done so many things, I've been so many places, I believe there's a God, but if you don't have that faith in who Christ is, there's no entrance into heaven. It's that simple, and yet that serious. For the people that have bought a car recently, or those that like cars in any way, shape, or form, the ones that you don't, we buy cars, those that need a car but not necessarily can afford a car. You buy a car no matter what color, no matter what it looks like inside. You just need a car. But those that can, there is a choice you make when you choose your car besides your color. You get to a point where you choose between your seats. You want leather or leatherette. You know about leatherette, right? Even some of our sofas are no longer leather. They look the same, at least for the first couple of years. They even promise you they will last just as long, but there's a difference between leather and leatherette. And the way you find out, you take a knife to it, and you find out real quick which one lasts longer, and which one has that authentic smell in the way you have your car or your furniture at home. It turns out, the danger may be that there are a lot of leatherette Christians running around today. They sure look it. Some even sound it. Some even preach it. But there's no leather. It's not authentic. That's why the Lord on that day will say to some, to his left, that I never knew you. He's not saying I knew you for the first part of your life. You were doing just fine in your walk. But then you just fell away. He says, I never knew you. There was never a beginning. There was never an authenticity in your faith. What is this faith that is so important? Because without it, it is impossible. So last week we looked at faith explained. The assurance of things hoped for. Things that are not seen. It's not something that you want to touch to be proven. It's because you love, you accept, and you rejoice. Because you know Him. Everywhere He leads you and how He teaches you is enough because it's that relationship. Now, here is faith exemplified with these three forefathers we have in Scripture. Verse 4, read along in your heart, mind, as I read out loud. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. What made it more acceptable? Because we may go to church, and we may find out that my sacrifice, my gift, as eloquent as it may be, will not be acceptable, but yours will be. What's the difference? And he goes on to explain. Through which he was commended as righteous. So what he did brought him to a place where even though, as we read later on about Abraham, that his faith in choosing to follow God, leave everything behind, later on offer his own son, God counted that as righteousness. Same way we see that Abel, whatever he did, was counted to him, commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up, so that he should not see death. And though he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended. Now, we see this word commended come up a number of times. And it's quite surprising when you look at the original word of what this word means. We see it many times in verse 4 as relating to Abel and now to Enoch. He was commended as having pleased God by faith. Noah being warned by God concerning events yet not seen. In reverent fear, he constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he commended the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The word commended in the original, you'll recognize it, is martureo, which we get the word from it, martyr. In Romanian, the word is even closer, which means witness. So this word that he commended is being a witness, but having the double-sided meaning that Abel was actually a martyr for his faith. So when we talk about martyrs for the faith, it means their testimony was so real that they gave their life up. Therefore, he commended. So now in this case, God is commending or God is witnessing on behalf of Abel because Abel was a martyr witnessing of his own faith doing what God requested. So first of all, in faith exemplified, we see faith worshiping. We need to worship by faith. Just singing in harmony is not good enough. And sometimes, every one of us, we find ourselves, I find myself, in the danger of enjoying the harmony and forgetting the heart. Or we may get together to practice to be perfect in our worshiping performance, we forget the heart, right? And the danger is that many worship teams and orchestras and choirs, they get so embedded into the sound and the perfection performance, and there's even arguments during choir practice, we forget that we're supposed to be worshiping, and that is having our hearts convicted to Him. The testimony of Abel, we're being taught what faith worshiping looks like. It says here that by faith, Abel, so he chose to do something that he was taught and that he learned. And here's the thing, when we are asked to live by faith or act by faith, sometimes either logic or teaching or other religion will counterattack that and tell you that's not enough, not good enough. You need to amend, you need to change, you need to improve. But here we have Abel having learned something from his parents, in this case we believe. He, by faith, he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he was martureo, he was witnessed, he was commended as righteous. And here we have the principle of faith sacrifices. Whenever you place your sacrifice, whether it's the men coming to church and giving all their time, comfort, and sacrificing their energy for the windows, or whether it's putting something in the offering plate or being in the kitchen or cleaning the bathrooms, you know, you can clean the bathrooms as an offering to Christ, right? Because you do it because you love Him. And that's when you do it with the best perfection or excellence that you are able to, because you want to give God your best, right? So here we have this faith sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, in the course of time, and we're going right back to the origin of the presentation in Hebrew 11, Genesis 4. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, we would be tempted to say, okay, it's this and not that, because usually we go by sight and whatever things may seem to make sense to our eyes, but it's not even that. Is it the fact that Cain did wrong by taking fruit of the ground and not sacrificing a lamb? Maybe. Maybe not, because you know what? You could sacrifice a lamb. God tells Israel, I don't need the blood of your rams and goats, because your heart is not in it, right? So Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The problem that we encounter in our worshiping and our church life is that many times we may fall in the temptation that we want people to regard our offering. And that's why God says, listen, when you give, don't let your right know what your left gave, or your left knew your right, one or the other. Do it that no one knows except God. But we are tempted because of our sinful nature, that when we do something for the Lord, somehow somebody must know so we can get a thank you, right? We can spend hours in the kitchen, but if no one told us the food was good, we'd say, you know what, I'm done, I'm not cooking anymore. We somehow expect people to regard that sacrifice. Was that what's going on in Cain's heart? Maybe, I don't know. Was he doing just something to just be done with it? Oh, I got to go to church. Okay. 10 to 12, no, I'll go 11 to 12, I'll go to 10:30, or whatever it is, I just give something. But it is, what is it that you give from your heart? At the same time, the Lord said, look at that widow. She has two pennies. She has given more than anybody. Not the amount, it's the heart. Cain's offering was fruit of the ground. Abel's offering was of his flock and their fat. Interestingly, that Abel is giving the Lord what later on we read in Leviticus, exactly how we should be done. The Lord says, the fat is mine. This is to be burnt offering, a sweet-smelling savor to me. If Abel is doing that, he learned that somewhere. His father, Adam. Adam learned from God himself, probably. It said that the Lord regarded, but not Abel's offering, but not Cain. The word here, regarded, we're familiar to it. More so, it's that he paid attention to, he was drawn to. You walk and you're window shopping. And yesterday I was walking with Pusha through, we found the World Antique Store on Overland. You guys know where that's at? You never walk out. And she went one way, I went right through the electronics, and I was regarding all of these things. When you regard, you walk by. When you don't regard, you walk by, you take notice. But when you see something that attracts you, now you stop, now you're intrigued, now you look deeper. That's part of that relationship that God wants to invest in our lives. In this case, he regarded Abel but not Cain. Why? It may have been that God had specified an animal sacrifice. Remember, we're not told specifically, but we see what happens after Adam and Eve sin and they're cast out of the garden. God makes for them clothing. Where do you get that clothing? He had to sacrifice some animals to make them the clothing. So through that, it may have been that they were taught that innocent blood was shed for your sin. And now you are covered as I place these on you. And so they learn that when you come to God, you offer what God requests, in this case, a symbol of the sin covering through the shedding of innocent blood. It may be that Cain, and he was not regarded, Cain offered leftovers. We do that sometimes, don't we? We're guilty often to give God the leftovers of our time, our compassion. When we give people our leftovers, we're giving God our leftovers. We learn that from John, which says, how can you say you love God whom you cannot see, but you hate your brother, which you can see? So you give God by loving, forgiving, patience, kindness to your neighbor, your brother and sister, your enemy. Cain may have given God leftovers, while Abel offered the best, the firstborn of his flock. Also, we definitely know that Cain's attitude may have been wrong. That's something he carried on even after the offering was given, even after God came and tried to redeem him. Cain, why are you upset? Why is your countenance low? Do what is right and you'll be accepted. And he kept on with his anger, envy, hatred, ultimately murder. Perhaps, most likely, beyond the firstborn, beyond the obedience, when Abel took of his own the best of what he had, he gave it with a kind of faith, believing that the sustainer sustains him even as he gives it away. That is the faith that he lived and the way he sacrificed. Through faith, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. Verse 4, commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, his commendation, his martyreo, his witness, he still speaks. God certainly testified of his righteousness as he regarded, or by showing respect of his offering. God is present and he takes notice when we offer him. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? The church was so excited in Acts. and they were giving things away, and they had everything in common. They loved each other. It was a brand new family. Nothing in the world was worth it, so now we all come together. And in their excitement, they sold what they had and put it all together. And here's Ananias and Sapphira, and they want to be a part of it somehow. They want to be left behind or made ashamed of. So they sold their plot of land, and they came to the disciples and apostles, and they said, listen, here we have this from selling the lot, and here it is to the Lord. And they died on the spot one after another. Why? Because they lied to the Holy Spirit, because they let it be implied that whatever they sold it for is that all that they're giving to the Lord. It would have been easy for them to say, listen, we sold it for $5,000, but we're giving to the fellowship $2,500. That would have been fine. But because they wanted to present a side of their own, their lives that was not real, their hypocrisy, the Holy Spirit saw that, God saw that, and they had to pay a price for it on the spot, this being in the first church. So God takes notice when we worship Him. Now, Jesus also talks about Abel. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23 verse 35. So it's not just in Hebrews and Genesis. And now Jesus authenticates Genesis, Matthew 3:35. He said, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth. And he's talking to the Pharisees for their lack of faith and hypocrisy. From the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. And Jesus mentions him. The blood of righteous Abel. So his sacrifice, sincere, surrendered, trusting, equals faith, that became a testimony for millennia. Also, the Apostle John talks about Abel and Cain. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. And this is a testimony that keeps on ringing of Abel's faith and worshiping by faith. 1 John 3:12, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, and he murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. What did Abel do? We only hear the culminating point of Abel's life. It culminated with offering to the Lord a sacrifice in faith. And that led to the end of his life, a short life as it may have been. We don't know how long he lived, but we know him and what he did. His faith rings throughout history. Hebrews 11:4, our text says that though he is dead, he still speaks. Romans 15:4 teaches us that all these things that we see, which actually we'll come back to when we ask the question, well, how do you get more faith? How do you grow in your faith? Scripture is the number one root of that faith. And in Romans 15:4, we read that all these things that happened before happened for you. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scriptures. If I am depressed, if I am afraid, I find encouragement, and from that knowledge, faith is born, the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope. His example of faith, it teaches us how to worship God. And Jesus himself tells us, as he talks to the Samaritan woman, listen, the hour is coming, and it's actually here now, that God is seeking worshipers. You may think people are seeking for churches to worship. It's the other way around. God is seeking for worshipers, and he draws them in his presence. And he says, listen, if you're going to worship God, it has to be in spirit. That spirit is that internal conviction and desire of trusting to surrender to him. That's faith and truth, and that's the word of God. God is seeking people, and he wants us to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. These are a couple of certain principles given to us. One, without God, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And second, the only way you can worship God is in spirit and in truth. It has to drop from here to a point of here. The problem is, seldom do we find surrender here. Surrender comes from here. Here we have contradiction, arguments, reasonings, right? But when you surrender, there's a intercorrelation with the work of the Holy Spirit where now our eyes are being opened. The moment you have faith and you step in that direction. The second painting and picture we have is Enoch. And this is the testimony of Enoch. We go from the worshiping in faith, faith worshiping, to faith walking. And you wonder, well, we don't have, not much is being told us about Enoch and how he lived. How do we know exactly how to walk like Enoch walked? And by the way, do not believe all the different books or the Apocrypha books about the book of Enoch. Not scripture, right? Not inspired. It may make for good bedside reading when you got nothing better to do, but it's not inspired. All we know about Enoch is from here and a couple of other mentions of him in Scripture. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. Faith walking, walking by faith, is a whole different animal than speaking about faith. We talked about this, right? Faith walking is when you actually say, I do. Everything sounds good until the night before, and then you stand before the preacher and you say, I do. Now you've done it. Faith walking, moving from one place to another, taking a job or going to a place where you know nobody, that's by faith. And here's what happens. At that threshold of that decision making, it's not the devil on your left shoulder and an angel on your right shoulder. The devil is in your face saying, don't do it, because if you do, you'll die. Don't do it, it's not going to work. And God is silent because he speaks and draws you by love, and he won't say anything until you respond to God in a positive way. And the moment you do, all heaven opens up. The peace, the presence, the answers, everything falls into place once you've made that step of faith. What's the testimony of Enoch? He was taken up so that he should not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended. He was witnessed to. He was commended as having pleased God. Don't you want to meet Enoch? He seemed like a very quiet man, but a man of action. All the things we could learn about his life, what did he do? That he pleased God. And the beauty about Enoch, and then in conjunction with Noah, we do draw some lines of faith and principles of the New Testament that he is a picture of the church, the bride of Christ, for whom he shed his blood and died. And in this picture, it is the joy and the hope that he will take us away, that we would not see corruption and tribulation, just like Enoch was taken up. Genesis 5, verse 21 through 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, for those of you wondering, and I won't go too deep into this, what's up with all these 600 years and 900 years? Well, the world and the earth was a whole different setup back then. Before the flood came, before the heavens were opened up, everything changed in a cataclysmic way on this globe. in one way we can see and tell. Look at the globe. You'll see how the continents seem to want to match if you were to push them together. They were one land before. The flood changed everything. And because of the air, the light, the way that we were protected from the sun rays, the ozone layer, everything allowed for life to be extended. After that, everything changed and lifespan diminished greatly. He lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. We learn that he pleased God. He walked with God. If he would not have had faith in God, he would not have followed God. He would not have been in God's presence, would not have been obedient if he did not have that faith. Just like Elijah, Enoch did not experience death. We see about Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11. It's the time where God is about to call him home. 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha gets the word. He gets all concerned and worried. But God said, no, it's done. I'm about to come take your master. And Scripture shows us in verse 11, as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. There's a special relationship that God shows these men. And Elijah was not perfect. Remember how he lost all faith and he was scared. He was the last one. And yet God, because of his faith, and Jesus says, for us as a mustard seed, God finds pleasure in Enoch. As he walked with him, God took him. He pleased God. What God found pleasing is that he walked with God. That's faith walking. That's those baby steps that has an open heart to read daily, dig in daily in the Scriptures, and as we learn from those Scriptures, being obedient. And again, I come back to a practical way. Let's say I had a great fight with Kathy. I did not like that poster she put up there or that flannel, whatever. And we had a great argument over it. Now, as I walk away from Kathy, my spirit is not sitting right. I know that there is a separation between the two of us. And now I want to read Scripture. And the Holy Spirit tells me, you want to talk to me? But you're not talking to her? And you open up, and Scripture talks about forgiveness. So me walking by faith, though I may think she's dead wrong, right? I'll walk up and say, listen, I'm sorry. My flesh took the best of me. I was angry. Please forgive me. My relationship with you is more important than what we hang up there. Will you forgive me? That's walking by faith. Because in my logical, reasoning, fleshly mind, I want to be right. I want her to bow down to me. I want her to say, you're right, I'm wrong, right? We want to always be in the right. But walking by faith crucifies the flesh. Doesn't the Bible say that? Crucify the old man, right? That's a practical way. And lastly, we have the testimony of Noah, and that is faith working. Working by faith. It's something that we tend to lose when we have bosses or companies that don't seem to have the same principles that we do, and we find daily ways that they're wrong and they're wronging others, and we begin to build a list of how we should get back to them or even wipe the dust off our sandals. We'll see you later. I'm gone. I quit. It's kind of hard to work by faith if we're looking at the human perspective. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. It is. He hears a warning about things that have never happened before. They've never had rain before. They've never had storms before. And here is God saying, listen, you got to build something you've never seen before, because something is coming that you never heard of before. I wonder how the people felt of that man that built the ark Tennessee or Ohio, Kentucky. He was doing a remake, but he was probably seen as a fool for building something that is just a story in the mind of the secular mind that does not believe. And there's many times that you are asked to do something for a reason that people do not understand. Why are you doing this? And what if that happens? But this is where faith becomes life. And he is working by faith. In reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he commended the world. He was a witness to the world. He condemned the world. He condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Obviously, this comes from Genesis chapter 6, if you want to read it, from verse 1 to verse 22. But I'm going to touch on verse 13 in Genesis 6. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God made a decision. He wasn't going to turn back. It was the end, but he's still coming to saving a remnant, giving a way out, a testimony of God's salvation through Noah, something they have not seen, something they can't comprehend. And here's this man talking about a judgment, but also a salvation. Later we read about prophet Noah as he preached for those 120 years. The world, and yet they would not believe. Genesis 6:22, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. His confidence or his faith in what God said would happen prompted him to actually start picking up a hammer and a saw and start building and take time. And he, in his case, he had to wait. We've been waiting for a rapture for 2,000 years, the point where people say, well, it's not coming. Well, he is building an ark for 120 years, and there's no rain. What are you doing? Faith is patient. Patient in what God said, trusting that God does keep his word. He says he was acting with reverence, respect, following through. His faith moved him to do everything that God told him. Genesis chapter 7, verse 5. Again, as we read in verse 22 of chapter 6, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. That's what God is looking for in my life, in your life. Not performance, but the obedience. He did all that God commanded him. To such faith working, he condemned the world. His own example of faithfulness to God stood in stark contrast to the lives of the world around him that were getting more evil as the day passed. His obedience magnified the lack of obedience of the people around him. Just as in Nineveh, Nineveh will condemn those who did not listen to Jesus. Look at Matthew 12, 41. Jonah went through one short sermon. There was two points, right? Repent, for in 40 days you will be destroyed, right? No illustrations. He wasn't attractive. And yet the people in Nineveh repented and God forgave them. They had faith in what Jonah said, and they had faith that the God that sent him would do it. Matthew 12, 41, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here, meaning I am here. Jesus is God incarnate in their midst. That is a struggle of the Jewish nation today. They say they believe in Yahweh, God Almighty, but they will not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's where those that will not believe in him will be lost forever. Noah received the standing of being righteous in God's eyes because he obeyed. It was his faith that pleased God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. Not what you do or aspire to, but only faith working through love. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. In James chapter 2:21, James chimes in the importance again of Abraham being justified because of his faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. We never switch those. It's not works for salvation. If you have faith, you will, authentic faith, you will live it in an active way and you will have works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him righteousness and he was called a friend of God. Faith worshiping, preparing your heart Saturday night, Sunday morning, that you're coming here to meet with God, not with any of the pastors or people. For too many years, people have come to church to meet and get, right? To arrange a network. We come to meet with Jesus. We must see Jesus. Faith walking in patience and obedience. Faith working in excellence, not to be approved, but because we are His children. How do we get this faith? And this is faith emphasized. Verse 6, for it is impossible to please God without faith. For those that believe, he believes that he is and he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, first of all, it's impossible to please God. Abel, Enoch, and Noah, they obtained a good testimony by their faith. Enoch in particular was called that he pleased God. Whether we're worshiping, walking, or working, faith must be the motivator behind it all. We know about the sons of Aaron, right? Nadab and Abihu. If you look at Leviticus chapter 10, they wanted to worship God. They grew up in a priest's house. They were trained to be priests, and to them it became their business, their lifestyle, getting rich through it. It was something that they did, not something they lived for. And their ministry ended on the stage. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. Simply that means they did not bring to the Lord the incense required by the law that God had specifically written how they should bring this offering before God. In the same way that the Jews back in the days of Jesus and even before, they were told to bring as a sacrifice the firstborn of their flock. What they do? They either didn't take the firstborn of their flock, they didn't spend that 1 year in preparation to bring the offering. On the way to the synagogue, on the way to the temple, actually in the temple courtyard to make it easier, because they were very advanced, right, back then in technology and practice, the people would sell them a sheep or a goat, and they would buy it right there and offer it right there. And often it was not, as was required, without blemish. It's the reason Jesus overturned all the tables as he walked through the temple. Same thing here. They offered fire, which God had not commanded them, and fire came from the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. How do we worship him? By faith? Before you come to church Sunday, get on your knees at home and repent. Ask forgiveness for that sin of that week, of that day. Ask for a broken heart. Because the Lord sees our hearts. As we worship Him in faith, we surrender and repent in faith. Otherwise, He says right here, those that come near Me will be sanctified. I will be sanctified. Before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Nothing he could say about his sons, because they were guilty. So without faith, it is impossible. And second, here's the faith which pleases God. We have this conviction that believes that God is. Verse 6, you believe He exists, but you don't stop at that. You learn and listen and obey what He says. We believe that He's a God. There's a God. He's the God of the Bible, the Father of Jesus, one with the Holy Spirit and the Son. Even though we do not see Him, we have the conviction, as we read in verse 1, of things not seen. We cannot see God, but He makes His presence ever present. Includes this confidence that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith, that conviction, is connected to the diligence. You do not give up. We see diligence in people that work for Him no matter what they do. Those that have been working on the windows, those responsible, they're the first here and the last to leave. Because they do it diligently. They believe in it. It's a practical way. When you seek God, remember, Jacob fought with the Lord Jesus, the angel of the Lord, all night long until he got the blessing. You do not let go. That's diligence. And it's the confidence that He rewards us. We believe that God acts on the part of those who seek Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 9, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve Him with the whole heart and with a willing mind. Whole heart, willing mind, serving Him. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. How do we seek Him? With a willing mind, with our hearts. Whole hearts. If this is that faith that pleases God, the last question and answer is, how do you develop saving faith? Primarily, we do like Peter did. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You ask the Lord. Place in my heart, Father. Lord God, I want to have faith. And I know that You're the one that gives the spirit of repentance. You give faith. My heart, fill me with that faith. That's the surrender. Here's the practical part that you're supposed to do. The common misconception is that faith is blind. No such thing. That there's no logic or reason to faith, and you just simply believe. That's not what God is asking. God surrounds you with proof. Bible describes faith as the result of evidence. Even Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And then Romans chapter 1 verse 20, for it is evident in looking at creation and look at ourselves that God is. He exists. Faith in Jesus is the result of evidence that He provides through the revelation in the Scriptures. We see that in John chapter 20, John 20 verse 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. In this book, the Gospel of John, in this book, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in this book, the New Testament, in the completed book, the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, meaning the Messiah, meaning the one that was sent to bring salvation through a sacrifice, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Believe in Him, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. How beautiful to take this verse where Jesus says, life is this, eternal life is this, to know God the Father. By knowing Jesus, we're given entrance into the presence of God, and there is life and life eternal. Today, as we read in Romans chapter 10, 17, faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. You ask for God to give you faith, and then you read the Word of God, and faith sprouts. You listen to the Word of God being preached, and the Holy Spirit settles. And what was something you listened to becomes conviction, surrender, freedom, and life. This faith that leads to the saving of the soul includes a strong conviction that God is, a strong confidence that He will reward those who diligently seek Him. It's the same kind of faith we see in Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Do you want that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith? Because it's an invitation to love. Love the Lord your God with all your might, all your soul, all your strength. Love. And so, Heavenly Father, the joy that we have as we hear the Holy Spirit within our own spirit declare that this is truth, this hope in the book you've given us is life. And as we pray, we know that you listen and that you are pleased because we are clothed with Jesus. Father, I pray for those that do not know you. They have heard of you. They're chasing after you. But there's no peace because they don't know. I pray, Lord, this very moment you touch their heart and that they would hear your call and feel that you're drawing them to you, that your word is life. I pray, Father, that all those that hear your word today would say, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. Give me this eternal life. I surrender to you. And so, Father, we praise your name. For we see your word being fulfilled as each day passes by. We pray that we will remain faithful to you as the days are growing evil. We pray that we will walk by faith, worship by faith, and work as a testimony of our faith in you until the day you come to take us to be with you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.